You are listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
This network is supported by our listeners. You can become a supporting member by going to archpodnet.com/members and signing up. As a supporting member, you have access to high-quality downloads of each show and a discount at our future online store, and access to show hosts on a members-only Slack team. For professional members, we'll have training shows and other special content offered throughout the year. Once again, go to archpodnet.com/members to support the network and get some great extras and swag in the process. That's archpodnet.com/members.
This is episode 225. For the 13th of August, 2017.
On today's show, Kenneth Fetter talks about Nine Mile Canyon from his book, Ancient America, 50 Archaeological Sites to See for Yourself. All right, Ken, welcome back to ARC 365 and tell us about Nine Mile Canyon.
Yeah, Nine Mile Canyon is located in eastern Utah near the city of Price. And I got to tell you, I'm one of those saps that when I'm driving on the road and I see an old abandoned house, I get this melancholy feeling. You know, it's like, you know, at some point people built that. That was a place where people lived their lives, and probably, although they knew they were not immortal, that they would die, but probably expecting that their kids, grandkids would live in there, that house would be there forever. And then something happens, right? And all that work and all that sweat and all that love that went into that house, that's all gone, and the thing is falling in on itself. When I drive through Nine Mile, I really have that feeling, and you get that feeling kind of in spades, because there were a number of different, not just individual structures or individual pieces of art, there were a number of whole worlds, I'm going to call it, entire worlds in which people lived their lives, raised their kids, expected that people, that their people would be there forever, and now they're gone. Nine Mile today is basically uninhabited. There's a gas operation there, natural gas, where these guys are pumping gas out of the ground. In the 1880s, the first thing that's really obvious as you drive through Nine Mile is that there was an entire community of people living there from the 1880s up until the early 20th century. And that was a group of Mormons living this kind of hard scrabble life. I mean, this is, Salt Lake City was like the deal back then, and this area was really a tough place to live, especially in the winter. But as you drive through there, you see these old stone houses in which a couple of hundred people, I guess, were living in the canyon at its peak, living out their lives, farming, raising apples, raising cows, and that's all gone. So that whole world has disappeared. But they were there, again, only in the 1880s. Before that, there was an entirely different world or universe that was part of that represents Nine Mile Canyon. And those were the Native Americans who were there for thousands of years, building their structures, living their lives, and producing a tremendous amount of rock art. It's called Nine Mile Canyon, which absolutely is a lie. It essentially is 40 miles long. You'll hear people refer to Nine Mile Canyon, the 40 miles of Nine Mile Canyon, as the longest art gallery in the world. And, you know, I'm not going to argue, because essentially once you hit a certain point as you're driving through Nine Mile, and I've been there twice. The first time I was there, it was primarily a dirt road. And part of the idea there was let's keep it natural. Let's not pave it, because that's going to bring more people in. More people means more vandalism. The problem, however, is that there's a constant, steady flow of large trucks going in and out of Nine Mile because of the gas company, because there's a tremendous amount of activity there related to extracting gas from the ground. So as a result, all those trucks were kicking up tons and tons of dust, and the dust, where was the dust landing? The dust was landing on the rock art panels that are primarily on the north side of the road. And I saw this just a few years ago, saw photographs of kind of before and after photographs of the rock art, and it was awful, because in order to keep the dust down to a minimum so these truckers could see where they were going, they would occasionally drop chemical, not just water, but chemicals on the road. And the chemicals, it turned out, were actually eroding the rock art when it landed on them, which is just awful. There are, and it's, again, it's I run out of superlatives, you know, I keep saying amazing, astonishing. I haven't said huge yet, I don't think, but there really are just so many beautiful images of rock art. And where finally, now that the dust has settled and they're not putting those chemicals on anymore, the rock art is being fairly well preserved. And as I said, it really is about 40 miles. And they have paved the roads now, so at least up to a point. So it's a lot easier to drive on. It's a lot easier to pull off on the side of the road and get an appreciation for the art. A lot of the art is on private land. The road itself is BLM, is I think controlled by the BLM, and everybody or the gas company controls some of it. And everybody's happy with folks staying on the road. In most cases, they don't want you getting out of your car and climbing up to the rock art because that's on private property. But you can see it perfectly well from the road. And the vast majority of the art in Nine Mile Canyon is easily seen from the road. You don't need any special equipment. And there are beautiful images of sandhill cranes and a lot of bighorn sheep. Some kind of hallucinatory with gigantically long necks and super round bodies. It's really very cool. So listen, if you're going to go to Nine Mile Canyon, there are a couple of things you absolutely have to see. One of them is the Great Hunt Panel, which is actually in a side canyon, Cottonwood Canyon. And now, first time I went, a little hard to find now. It's really easy. It's all paved. There's a parking lot. Very easy to find. You park, you walk back, and there's this gigantic rock looming above you that has this beautifully rendered image of a bunch of bighorn sheep and like four or five men. And when I say they're men, I don't mean people. They are men because they all have penises, and they are with bows and arrows hunting those sheep. Now, it probably isn't just a simple there's not a simple explanation that, well, they're just showing a hunt, because some of the images among the sheep are very kind of trippy, very strange. The sheep are like connected by these lines to one another, but it absolutely is a beautiful and beautifully preserved panel of rock art. The other thing you've got to do, just because it's so much fun, is that in that same general area, across the canyon, at the top of one of these cliffs, you can barely make it out without binoculars, and you're not going to see it without a really good set of binoculars or telephoto lens. But there is what appears to be at the top of this cliff, Santa and his sleigh of reindeer, because there's a whole bunch of it. In fact, what they probably are is they're just regular animals. They're deer and bighorn sheep all in a line, and there's an anthropomorph at the back of that line, and you look at it. Of course, everybody calls it Santa and his sleigh. And it's absolutely beautiful piece of rock art. In Nine Mile has so much stuff in so many different panels that I've been there twice, and I still have a list of images that I have yet to see that I really want to see. One of those is called the Family, and there's this what appears to be two large anthropomorphs and two little ones, so it looks like you know, a nuclear family. I haven't seen that. And there is an absolutely beautiful owl rendered as a petroglyph in the owl panel, and I haven't found that one yet. And a couple other minor ones. I've got to go back to Nine Mile, hopefully, and maybe in early of 2018, I'll be back in Utah, and I'll be checking out Nine Mile Canyon. The last thing I want to mention is Nine Mile also has maybe the most egregious, mean-spirited piece of vandalism I've ever seen at any rock art site. And one of the areas, one of the cutouts, there's a little bit of a cave, and there's a pictograph, beautiful pictograph of what appears to be an elk. And today, this is all owned either by the gas company or by the BLM. But at one time, these individual landowners owned a lot of this stuff. And I guess this guy was getting tired of strangers coming onto his property, although there's no house nearby, nobody was hurting anything, but he was pissed off, I guess, that people were going onto his property and looking at the rock art. So what he did was he painted over this beautiful red elk in large letters, private property, no trespassing. Now, I'm sorry, if you really didn't want people there, put a gate around it. If you really didn't want people there, put a big sign saying you will be arrested. But why in the hell do you have to destroy the rock art to make a point? That's pretty awful. Thankfully, you don't see that throughout the rest of 9 Mile, that folks have understood for a long time, that people are going to be attracted to this. People want to see it. They want to experience firsthand. And that's the whole purpose of my book and these podcasts, to see these things, to get an appreciation for, again, the amazing creativity, the artistic genius of the first American. So go to 9 Mile. Although it's 40 miles long, make sure you're gassed up. Don't expect to get out 9 miles in, 9 miles out. That ain't happening. And go and see these things. And if you find the owl panel, I want you to send me an email and tell me how in the hell I can get there when I'm there next spring. Mm-hmm. So go visit 9 Mile. It's just an amazing place.
Awesome. And this is one of those places where, you know, as an archaeologist in the West here, I know a ton of people that have been there, and I've never been there. So I definitely got to make it out to that site at one time.
Well, there's the deal, Chris. You don't want to visit every... I mean, me with 9 Mile, it's like I'm almost kind of glad that there are some really cool rock art that I haven't seen, because that gives me an excuse to go back and revisit some of my friends. I call these rock art panels my friends because, obviously, I'm demented. But to revisit some of these amazing sites, I'll go and see that first family again. I'll get more pictures of Santa and his reindeer. And for sure... to be able to track down some of this other art. It's worth. So the fact that you haven't been there, it gives you a really good excuse for going back to Utah.
There you go. All right. Well, visit the links in the show notes. Check out the special discount on the book from publisher Roman and Littlefield. And when you get the book, take a look at Site 44 and read about 9 Mile Canyon. That's it for this episode of ARC 365. Please share this episode on your social media sites so others can have fun and learn about archaeology too. Please consider a donation to ARC365 by sponsoring an episode for just $35. You can find the sponsor page at www.archaeologypodcastnetwork.com/sponsor-ARC365. Thanks and have a great 2017 with the Archaeology Podcast Network. The song Storm Diggin' was written, performed, and recorded by Steve Webster. This show is produced by Chris Webster and Tristan Boyle.
And edited by Richie Cruz.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archaeologypodcastnetwork.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.